blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And when I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 3 of 159.
scripture reading for this evening hour you can find by renewal in the Gospel according to John, there of the 12th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. John 12, beginning with verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, of heaven and of earth, thou gatherest for a little while again in thy providence in this evening hour, that we may reflect for a moment on all that has taken place in this day, when thou hast set before us thy institution, and when thou givest that those may come to eat and to drink at thy table. Then we can read of one who was given to eat and to drink every day at that table of King David, and he had expected to perish at his feet. And then he did say, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And thou knowest all that is in the heart of thy people. And when thou dost give a little measure of true saving faith, then their heart does sink away under all of thy wonders, under all of thy goodness. Oh, then they say with thy servant, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, and thy wondrous works declare. And thou givest by moments, that thy name is so near, declared in all thy works, that we might feel a little of thy favor and of thy communion, that we may taste a little of thy grace, and that our hearts may wonder at it, and that thy name may be glorified within us. O Lord, there is nothing from our side, not from day to day to all, through all our life, except thou givest it unto us. From our side, no fruit forever. But Lord, when thou wilt give it, out of that grace which unites to thy dear and only begotten Son, oh, then there is fruit to be had. Then thou mayest thyself partake of it in the life of thy people. And when thou bringest them a little near, oh, and they may say, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. O Lord, then it is good to be in thy house. Then it is good to be with thy people. Then it is such a great wonder that thou hast thought upon us, that thou hast not dealt with us according to our many sins, or that thou would bring thy church near unto thee continually, or that they may be careful in their life, that they would not make reason, and that thou wouldest put distance between thee and their soul, but that thou wouldest draw continually to thee, and oh, that thou may also give what thy servant did right. Lord, draw me, we will run after thee. For when that testimony and the fruits may go out in the midst of the flock, oh, then there is also a fruit that is born from this, because then others are made jealous, and then others desire also that they may receive. Oh, then they become a seeking people. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? Oh, we would seek him with thee. Oh, Lord, that thou may give it also in the midst of us in a great measure. Thou knowest the many that have had to stay behind. Oh, thou knowest how that it is. Maybe it was all in coldness, but it could be also that it was also with a burden. And then thou knowest what that burden is. And then, Lord, they are here again this night, or they are listening by church telephone. Oh, then they are crying, could it be, and that I may still receive something in this day, something for my poor soul. O Lord, that thou may give a little crumb, and that thou may give a little token for good, or that thou may give that people to wait upon thee, to hang upon thee, for with thee is all to be found, or that they may never let thee go, except that thou would bless them. Oh, thou art able to open the eyes, the dark eyes, and thou art that light that shineth in the darkness. Oh, that it may be experienced more amongst us, that there may be more testimonies that may go out in the midst of our congregation in the future, that there may be those who may partake in a personal way of a little blessing here and there in the midst of the congregation, under the preaching, under the reading, that to have to say with Ruth of old, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? Lord, then there is humility. Oh, then there is acknowledgement. And then there is glory to thy name. Oh, give new birth in the midst of us, and that there may also be a breaking forth. And because we can read in thy word, and that the children are come to the birth, but there is no strength to bring forth. And thou knowest the opening that needs to be given. Oh, then it needs to come to the end. And then it needs to be cut off from our side. And we do not choose that way. And we do oppose that way. But Lord, be thou too strong for us continually. And wilt thou bring us in that place that we cannot bring ourselves. Do look upon young and old together, and the children and the youth, who are also observers, or that thou may give in their young hearts a tenderness, and that they may also receive a new heart, a fleshly heart from thee, a heart of flesh, a heart that is able to receive true saving impressions that may be wrought upon in the days of their youth. And wilt thou give a true repentance in the heart of each and every one, or that we may have knowledge of our iniquity and our sin, and that we may be truly sorry therefore, or that we might weep tears of grief, and a desire born in us that we may be changed, and that we may receive a new life, oh, a life that is apart from sin, a life that desires to walk according to all thy commandments. That is a warfare. That is a church militant. Oh, they shall always be disappointed in all that they are able to do. But Lord, then they shall be driven time and again to thy blessed footstool and to the foot of thy cross. And when they must die daily, oh, then there is only hope and there is only expectation in that free salvation and that free forgiveness in which thou speakest with thine own lips. Remember us, Lord, in thy favor, and be with all the needs and the cares among us. And we ask in a special way that thou may remember us in the week to come, and when we hope to meet as a congregation, as male members, and as a consistory, or that thou may look on us in thy mercy. Thou knowest all of our needs, and that we need an office to be filled. Lord, oh, could it please thee to do according to thy good pleasure, and to look upon us undeservedly, and to give us a man of thy choosing, whom thou wilt make fit in thy own time and in thy own way. We are unfit of ourselves, and we cannot do any of this work. Oh, then we need every day to be given light and to be given wisdom and to be given strength for the office that thou dost call us unto. Oh, that thou may provide for us then in thy mercy in this week, and that thou wouldst do above all that we can ask or think. Lord, look upon all the needy, because there are those that receive treatments. There are those that are afflicted in the mind, afflicted in the body. There are those that mourn. Care for each one also that we do not know, and bring all to thy footstool, that it all may be sanctified and blessed. Wilt thou look on us in this evening? Help us to bring thy word. Strengthen us, Lord, for the labors that thou layest upon us. And wilt thou give and that thy spirit may go freely tonight in the midst of this flock. Oh, that it may go from pew to pew, that it may go from heart to heart, and that we may be gladdened by thy deeds for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 73, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in His might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 73. Our text congregation for this evening hour can be found in the portion read to you once again, John 12, and thereof the verses 32 through the first part of verse 36. John 12, verses 32 to 36a. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. So far the words of our text. Christ signifies what death he should die. First, what death this is. Second, what this death will accomplish. And third, his answer upon objections. Christ signifies what death he should die. And if I be lifted up from the earth, this he said, signifying what death he should die. Second, what this death will accomplish, will draw all men unto me. And third, his answer upon objections. The people answered him, etc. And if I be lifted up from the earth, thus the Lord Jesus speaks about being lifted up. And then we must look, congregation, to the original language to see what these words mean, what this term, what this expression means. To be lifted up, and that is to be lift on high, that is to be exalted. Thus he says, and if I be exalted, that is, that it speaks about something that is honorable, that is an honorable advancement, a lifting up, as we might say, a person is lifted up to a high office, or a person is lifted up to a certain high honor. If we were not told what this meant, what this referred to, then it is very likely that we would say the Lord Jesus now speaks about his ascension. Because it speaks about a lifting up on high, and a being honored. But we read this, he said, signifying what death he should die. Thus we have an explanation of the words of the Lord Jesus, which are so necessary for us, that we may not misapply those words. Signifying what death he should die, that is, that he should die the death of the cross. Thus he declares that this death of the cross is to him that which is very honorable. It is an honorable advancement. What death is more despised, what death is more painful, than the death of the cross. Moses says that he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. And he is not only accursed of God, but he is also accursed and he is also despised by men. That is the death that men are put to who have done the, we would say, the ultimate wrong, the greatest and the most despicable of iniquities and transgressions, those that have committed the most horrid sins, those are they which would die the death of the cross, thus to hang between the heaven and the earth, that is to be, as it were, rejected by those on the earth, and it is to be rejected and by God himself who is in heaven. The Lord Jesus was mocked when he hung between the heavens and the earth. And then it was men who did say to him that God would not have him. Let him now cry to God and let God answer him now. If God will have him, but this way that he is now in, that he is upon this cross, that is a testimony that God will not have him, even as we will not have him. Thus, the death on the cross. And still Christ calls this an exaltation from the earth, a lifting up from the earth, that is to be above the earth. Oh, do you desire ever to be lifted up above the earth, that you may be above all the cares of the world, that you may be above all the concerns, that you may be above all the vanity of the world, that your heart may be lifted up above everything that is carnal, everything that is vain, everything that is perishing? Oh, do you say ever that my heart may be in heaven, there that the Lord is? Because the psalmist, he says, my soul that cleaveth unto the dust, that was to him a burden, that was to him very heavy, he desired that it would be so very different. It was a great humiliation for the Lord Jesus, that he must come to this world and that he dwelt in the midst of a sinful generation. And then every day to be with people who were nothing but iniquity, because none of that iniquity and none of that vanity and did live within his heart as he traveled from day to day. And it was not only in his enemies, but it was in his beloved disciples. That was for him a burden. That was for him a grief. In the midst of all that suffering that he had to endure from the time that he came upon the world, but not only within himself, no, that was because of everything that was about him. He did not have a carnal heart. No, his heart was always in heaven. His heart was with his Father. He did not have any carnal views of anything. And now there was no suffering like the suffering of Golgotha. And yet he calls it an exaltation from the earth, even at suffering, to be lifted up between the earth and the heaven. He says that is now an honor for him. That is above the comprehension of the world. That is above our it is above our wisdom. It is above all the love that can be found in the world, that he is calling this lifting up by such a name. It is also above all the power that is in the world. David, when he said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, desired that he may be lifted up. And what is often the manner in which the Lord is lifting up his people, that is by suffering. So often by suffering, he is taking their heart and making a separation in their heart from everything that is in this world, that he may make them tired of the world. But it is often in this way that the Lord has to take away that drawing of the world that is also living so often in the heart of his own children. And if I be lifted up, if I be exalted from the earth, it is only faith, it is only saving faith that is able really to enter into this. There is nothing for which any man in the whole world will be more highly exalted than Christ will be exalted for this lifting up. There is nothing that a man has done, there is nothing that God himself has done that is so worthy to be praised and that will be praised, for which he will be glorified, for which he will be magnified forever and forever, than for this exaltation from the earth. Therefore, Christ, he calls it an honorable lifting up. Who will do that? Who will magnify him for this lifting up? Will all men in the world magnify him for this? No, congregation, certainly not. No, what does Paul say? He says, all men have not faith. All men have not faith. And it is only faith, true saving faith, that will magnify him for this lifting up. This afternoon, we had that holy table set before us, administered before us. And then also in this, there has been, we have heard this voice that is coming from heaven. And what is that voice about? That is about this lifting up. There we have the tokens of that lifting up, a broken body and blood that is shed. That is all speaking about this lifting up. And if I be lifted up from the earth, that is that sacrifice, that same is spoken about in baptism. And it is, in fact, the essence, the center of all of the preaching. For what? That it may bring forth faith. That there may be born faith, that is saving faith and the increase of saving faith, that he may be lifted up in our heart. We see that in our second thought, what this death will accomplish. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Thus in the Lord's Supper, those tokens have been set forth visibly, who then were called to commemorate this death. It was only those in whose hearts he was lifted up. Has he ever been lifted up in your heart? That is a great wonder. That is a great wonder. Why is that such a great wonder? Because there are many people who sing his praises and who see no wonder in this. No, they see that as something natural that a man can do, that he can glorify that Son of Man. But Isaiah has written how it is in our natural heart. And Isaiah writes that he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him, and that we should desire him. And thus, if it has become different with us, that is a great wonder. That is a great wonder. That is not something that we can just do. Where do you go with that wonder? That wonder wherein the Lord has made a distinction with you, that he has shown to you a beauty that other eyes cannot see. Where do you go with that? Or do you just say, well, that is a common thing? No, you do not. You know it is not common. You cannot give it to yourself. You could not give it to yourself before, and you know that you cannot give it to yourself again. And if I be lifted up, if our heart was only carnal, if our heart was only earthly, well, then there would be no beauty for us to see in the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly not in his lifting up. Do you feel that? Or maybe you say tonight, I do not see that beauty. I know there are others. They have made that testimony in this afternoon. Or they see something in him. And I do not see it. Do you say that with coldness? Do you say that matter-of-factly? Or do you say that with a grief in your heart? Is that not an awful thing? Is that not a sinful thing? That we do not see beauty in this lifting up? In a man who has given himself even unto death, not for his own sin, but for the sin of others. And we see nothing in it. Nothing in it. No beauty in him that we should desire him. That is an awful thing. That is an awful thing. How will we go home now? Or that we would go home with guilt. That we say that is the greatest sin that there can be. That I have no desire for he who God sent into the world, the gift of God. And knowing that I have to die, and knowing outwardly that I have a heart that is full of iniquity, and yet no beauty in him. The congregation, you are all here tonight. Why are you here? Why are you here? You say, I could not come to that table. Then why do you come back? You say, well, it is church. That is good. That is very good. But do you also say, oh, I wish that there could still yet be something today. That there still could be a little something that the Lord would give unto me. And is that now a burden to you? that you say that God's people love Christ. They love him. And that is true. Oh, that is not always the way it should be. That should show so much more. But it is true. Do you say God's people love him? And is that now a burden that you say it is so bad with me? It is so wrong with me. How many years has that been going on? Do you say it is, I think, impossible for me? I see this one, and then I see that one, and then I am left behind. Is that so? Is that then impossible for you? That is not so. Why do we say that? We do not say that. The Lord says that. That is what he says here in our text. And he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. There was never one person who had desires after Christ who was not drawn by him. There is not one person in the whole world for whom it has begun from their own side and that had to produce desire and that had to produce love for him that was lifted up from his own heart. No, it is impossible. Ask the people. Ask the people who may say that their love has gone out to him, that he has become altogether lovely to them. Ask them. And they will tell you that there was a time that they saw no beauty in him at all. Thus it has begun with them the same as that it is now with you. Do you believe that? There is not one person that is able to give himself love for the Lord. There is not one person that is able to give himself a view of the blessedness of the suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own soul. Where is congregation then our hope tonight? Where is our hope tonight? When we say, I am on the outside of this, and there is nothing within me that can bring me on the inside of this, because we need not only that objective work, but we need also a subjective work. Then it is not only that he is lifted up, but that needs to be applied also unto me. And now we're only is our hope because there are people, many people who profess Christianity whose hope is in themselves. Some ability that is in myself to do what we cannot do. But here the Lord shows you where your hope is. When you must despair of hope. When you say, I cannot give it to myself. Oh, you need not to blame the Lord. Because that is our own fault. Is it not our heart that goes after this world? It is not only that we lack a love, but we also have a love. That is the love for sin. our only hope that is in him who says, I will draw. How does that sound in your ears? Or do you say, Lord, Lord, thou drawest thy people. Oh, draw me. Draw me. My heart also, that my heart also may go out after thee. Oh, you may tell him everything. You may tell him how hard your heart is. You may tell him how awful that it is that you have no love for his son. For his son. Will you tell him that? You may do that. You ought to do that. Because we sing, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. And if we despise the Son of God, who is the beloved of the Father, then you may be sure that we will be despised by the Father. Or you may tell him what your sin is. And you may tell him what your poverty is. That you cannot change it. That you have a heart that is just as you have been born. And a disposition that is from your side impossible to make that slightest change. And then you may point to his word. And then you may say, Lord, now we have heard tonight. I will draw. Oh, that it may come all from thy sight. For it is wicked, for it is sinful, and for this powerless person. What does the bride say? She says, draw me. We will run after thee. Thus the church does not just need to be drawn once. That was the bride. That is God's experienced church beseeching the Lord if the Lord would draw her. Has the Lord not drawn her? Oh, he has. She knows what that drawing is. But she also knows that she cannot give it to herself the second time, the same as she has never given it to herself the first time. There is not one of God's true people congregation that will point to you and say, you are worse than I, because they know exactly what is living in your heart, because it is living in their own heart. And that need that the Lord would draw once is the need that the Lord would draw 1,000 times again. Because God's people are good at departing from him. They are good at playing the harlot. But that people are not able to return again. That is the prayer of that bride. The Lord is calling them. He says, turn again. And then they say, oh Lord, turn us. Turn us and we shall be turned. Thus, the Lord says, I am the Alpha, but I am also the Omega. And that may be your hope that he is the first. When you say there is no beginning and you say I have no ability to begin it, that may be your hope that he says I am the Alpha, then you have yet a place to go. With all your wretchedness and with all your need, then you have a place to go. And now for the people, their hope is, and I am Omega, and I am the ending. Why? Because they have to experience that they cannot begin it, and they cannot finish it either. No, it is always and again. Oh, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Sometimes, then it is that sacrament that the Lord is using to draw his people again. Because they can be so involved in this world and in everything that this, all the concerns in this world, which are indeed many, that they have so little thought for the Lord. And now in that examination and in that coming again to that table, oh, it is such a wonder if the Lord comes a little bit. If the Lord is just pleased to be a little bit close to their heart. If he will come with just a little nearness. Oh, that they say, it is such a wonder that the Lord, he has thought upon me. That there would be an inkling of a tenderness in their heart again. Because they are often praying for a prayer, and they are often sighing for a sigh. And now that the Lord is using it by times to speak unto that bride and to knock on the door of her heart when she is laying on that bed of sloth. Open unto me, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. He is waiting. He is waiting. And then they become so ashamed when they may see again everything that the Lord has done for them. And when they may acknowledge him for it, and then they may prostrate themselves. Oh, to say, Lord, what am I? And what now have I done that I have left my first love so far? And then the Lord is drawing that people back again. Oh, to sign up once again for that warfare, because it is a church militant. And that warfare is not yet done. No, that warfare has to continue. And they become sometimes tired in that warfare. Oh, tired of the fighting. Tired because it is not an easy warfare. No, not when it is the soul, the affections, the mind, the will, all that is a warfare that is so very difficult. And now the Lord gives them, as it were, some energy again. When the Lord is coming with a little nearness, or when he returns again for just a moment like it was in those years that has gone by, in those first years where the Lord, he has so drawn by his Spirit, or when they went with joy to that house of the Lord, or when they went with desire to that house of the Lord, or when they had with all their might fought against every iniquity that was in their heart and in their life. And now the Lord is signing that people up again for that warfare. And if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. All men, no, that is not each and every person in the world. But it is all of his people over the whole world, because it would not be just the Jewish people anymore. That was the time in which he was living and the first church. And so we often read all men. He says, I will draw all men. I will draw also men who are not Jews. I will draw also the Gentiles unto me. And how will he draw them? He says, with my sacrifice, with my sacrifice. No, that is not drawing to men, is it? That does not draw any man that is in this world, does it? That did not draw the Jewish people. They did not want such a man as their king, nor did they want such a man as their savior, as their Messiah, as their redeemer. And yet there are people who are drawn by that sacrifice. And who are those people? We have spoken about that. Oh, they have been cut off from their own way. And then they are drawn by that sacrifice because there is no other way. Is that now in a newly regenerated soul? What do you think, children, young people? That now the Lord gives new birth and immediately there is love and desire and a need felt for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is not so. No, that is not so. You say, I see no beauty in him. I see no beauty in him. There is no drawing for my heart after him. That does not mean that there is no drawing at all. Because there is another drawing that comes first. Thus you may examine yourself. Is there another drawing? Because it is not first the Son, but it is first the Lord. We did not leave the Son, but we left God. And thus that first drawing is a drawing after God. It is drawing after our Maker. It is drawing after our Creator, whom we have left, whom we begin to miss. Thus, because you have no drawing yet for the Son, that does not mean that there is no new birth. We do not know that, but we cannot know it either. We cannot know it either until the Lord has drawn us, led us so far as to receive a drawing after the Son. Because when we have come so far, then we have come through the gate, the wicked gate. Then we have entered through the straight gate, and then we have begun to walk upon that narrow way. There were two men that left the city of destruction, not one. And one was just convinced, and the other was born again. The other was born again. Are they here? Those that are born again, but they have not yet come to the wicked gate. Can be. That has to be first congregation in your life. But it needs to come further. There has to be more than a drawing unto God in a general way. Oh, and when the Lord is cutting off our own way, as with Naaman, oh, then he is revealing a different way. What do you think? Do you think you will know that? Do you think you will know that? Oh, you will know that. You will know that. You will be able to wake up in the middle of the night and tell me about that. Not of the new birth. Because often we do not know that moment. But Christian knew when he came through that wicked gate, because he had stood at Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, then he is cut off from all of his merit. Then it becomes impossible for him. And now once again he hears the preaching. Oh, he heard it so many times. He heard it before, but he did not hear it. And he could not see him. But when that time is ripe, oh, then that evangelist, that minister, he is guided by the Lord in the Lord's time. We do not know what is in your heart, but now in that moment, when it becomes so impossible, and when it becomes so cut off, oh, and then you hear of him, and that he was lifted up, and then your eyes go open, and then you have light. Oh, then congregation, you will be drawn. You will be drawn after him who was lifted up from the earth. Let us sing 420, stanza 5. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. And what follows in the fifth stanza of Psalter 420.
Thank you.
And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Thus congregation to the Lord Jesus are brought objections. Objections. Nothing has changed in the world, and nothing has changed in the church. The multitude is a mixed multitude, and that has always how it is, also in the outward administration of the church. And here are some that would argue. They would argue about the words that Christ has said, and they do that by way of a question. Do you have questions? It can be we are so uninterested that we never have questions. Questions are good. And if we have good questions, and then maybe we will get a good answer. But some questions are not good. And why not? Because they come out of a bad heart. They come out of a wrong motive. They come out of a motive that desires to argue. Here are men that wish to drive the Lord Jesus into a certain trap, that he would say something by which they can easily make an accusation against him. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about very precious things. He speaks about the things that are very dear to the true church of God and to himself. And then there are men, and they are religious men, who are very brazen with the most holy of things. These objections are made by men who know the Bible. We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And so, congregation, it is, because there are many places in the Bible wherein is stated that Christ abideth forever. We know that his name shall endure forever. His kingdom shall endure forever. He will have an everlasting priesthood. So there are so many places in the scriptures so that we may say that what these men are saying, that is correct. We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? So thou dost contradict the Bible. Is that so? No, that is not so. Of course that is not so. That is foolishness. What they are bringing against the Lord Jesus Christ, because the death of Christ that is in perfect consistency with the eternal abiding of his name, of his kingdom, of his person, and of his priesthood. That is also declared in the Bible. But they do not say that. That is now the part that they skip over. And why do they skip over it? Because they do not want to believe that the Lord Jesus is divine. They do not want to believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. They do not want to confess that he has not one nature only, but that he has two natures. That he is the Messiah that the Father would send into this world. That is why, congregation, we can know so much. You can know so many things out of the Bible. We can memorize the Bible from the beginning to the end. And we can make all kinds of arguments about the Holy Scriptures and miss the prophet. And miss the prophet. So that none of it is sanctified unto our heart. Do you know what these men missed? They missed the knowledge of themselves. That is what they missed. And when they miss the knowledge of themselves, they will miss the knowledge of God. They will miss the knowledge of His only begotten Son. And they will never taste of the sweetness of the atonement, the broken body, and the poured out blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is, in our third point, the answer of Christ upon their objections? You say He can easily answer them. He can easily prove them wrong with the Scriptures. Does He do that? No. What does He say? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. The Lord Jesus does not answer their question. Why not? Well, in the first place, He will not say to them directly who He is, because they have an evil motive, and the Lord Jesus is in control every moment of His own passion, when He will die and how He will die. That is not under the control of the enemy. That is under the control of Christ Himself, because He is not going to be forced into death, but He is going to give Himself into death for His people. In the second place, they do not deserve an answer. And why do they not deserve an answer? Because they know the answer. They know that answer very, very well. But they do not want to believe it. He has told them before. And they will not believe it. They will not receive it. All His explanations now will not help them. Why not? Because, congregation, it doesn't begin here. It begins here, in our heart. We need a new heart. It is not the mind that just needs to be educated if our heart is not a new heart. It cannot be educated. Thus the Lord can speak and speak and speak to these men, but nothing is going to help them. And thus He does not give them an answer. Do you know what He does? He warns them. He warns them. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Who is that? That is Himself. He says, I am the light. I am the light of men. And that light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Yet a little while is the light with you. I have been with you now a little while. I have been with you 3 years. And I have been teaching you, and I have been correcting all of those mistakes that you do make concerning the scriptures, the interpretation of the scriptures, what is that covenant of grace that you do not understand, that you will not receive? I have been telling you that now this for 3 years. And I will be here with you just a little while longer. Very short. And after this we read that he departed from them. So it was going to be very, very short. And he says, your opportunity, that is now almost done. Almost done. Thus he warns them, but he also instructs them so meekly, so tenderly. He gives them instruction earnestly, even those that are opposing him. He admonishes them for their good walk. He says, while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light. He says you can object and you can argue, but you will receive, men, no profit. No profit. From what you are doing with my words for yourself and for all of those that are around you. You do not want to receive the truth that I have spoken unto you. And now, if you continue in that way, he says, you will walk in darkness. Warns them. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Is that not a wonder? Because he still sets that before them. You know what he says? He says, it is not yet too late for you. Even those of you who object, who have wrong motives, he says, even for you, he says, it is not too late. He says that you may be the children of light. He sets that before them. If you will only turn away, if you only have pity upon your own soul, oh, then it is still possible that you would be the children of light, that you would be enlightened with my truth that comes out of my mouth, if you had sought it only with a right heart. O congregation, how long shall that light now be with us? Because it has been with us. And it is not going to be with us forever. There is going to come a time that that light is taken away. And now the Lord is so tender. He is so tender even in his warnings. He is so tender in his admonishments. Oh, does that draw you? Does that draw you? That you say he is so different than I am. Because I turn my back to him. And I have nothing in my heart that goes out after him. And he still warns me. And he still sets before me the possibility that even such a rebel as I am can be delivered and can be changed. The prince of this world is very, very powerful. He drew Adam, he drew Eve, and he drew all the posterity of our first parents. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? Is that now ever a burden to you? or the prince of this world, and he draws young people. When he draws you into darkness, darkness. Oh, there is so much that is available to you, right at your fingertips, and it is nothing but darkness. You ever feel that, young people? The great difference with all you can find in the world. And then you take your Bible in your hand. Oh, is that ever a treasure to you? Because here is now the light. Here is now the light. And then it is still possible that we would become the children of light. Oh, ask the Lord for that. That the Lord may enlighten your darkness, and that the Lord may give to you that light concerning God, concerning yourself, concerning His only begotten Son. That light that will enlighten your soul, that will glorify God here already upon the earth. And then that light is going to shine. Then you will not end in darkness, in that great and deep pit, but then you will end in the light. And then you will magnify and glorify Him who is the light forever and forever. So be it. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble us under thy goodness that thou hast helped us again in this evening. Bless the few simple words to the hearts of each and every one of us, and give us light from heaven. Speak with a voice from heaven, O Lord, in what was all spoken and seen in this day, that it may be received as thy voice, and that thou may spark in our heart that new life, that it may be born. Wilt thou keep us from sin? Help us in all the labors of our hands. Be with us when we are together in our meetings, but also upon a prayer day. Give a desire to come up to thy house, and the ability, therefore, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter, number 4, 3, 4, and 5. By God's decree, His Son receives the nations for His heritage. The conquering Christ supreme shall reign as King of kings, from age to age. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 4. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.